Hello, I am Gabriel and I pastor Grace Communion Richardson. And I want to just say a warm welcome to you to our worship stream today. Here at Grace Communion Richardson, we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, through community engagement, all flowing out of the incredible love of God poured in our hearts through Jesus Christ, our Savior. And I'm going to be talking a little bit more about this later as we continue our series on our vision and mission. I hope you are doing well, all things considered, and I hope that you recognize that our great God is with us in whatever life circumstances that we are in. He is in it with us. And I thank God for that. If you have any prayer requests, please do not hesitate to send us your prayer requests. The address to send the prayer request is on the screen. And if you have any comments that you want to share, please feel free to do so as well. This month of October is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I just want to take the time to say thank you. Thank you so very much to the many expressions of thank you that I have received from a number of you. Expressions of thank yous with cards, gifts, dinners, expressions of support and encouragement. I appreciate them all. They mean a lot, and I'm privileged to join Jesus in what he is doing in, with, and through me through the power of his Spirit, and with my lovely and talented wife Christine, and with you all as we participate in his life and in his mission of love. We are indeed better together, and all the honor and the glory goes to him. I've been sharing with you as a congregation our values, our vision, and our mission. And last week, I shared our vision and mission with a focus or emphasis on our vision. Today, I want to share with you our vision and mission with the focus on our mission. Now, our vision and mission flow out of our identity in Jesus Christ and what he stands for and what he commands and teaches us to share what he believes in the sense of what his vision is from the Father, from the triune God, of sharing life of love with all of humans. And so our vision and mission flow out of the overarching destiny that God has for all of humanity. Now I'm going to be talking some more about that today as we focus on the mission that we, as Grace Communion Richardson, believe we have in our little corner of the great work that God is doing in this world. And as I continue on this series, friends, I'll be sharing messages about who we are in Christ and how that informs our unity in diversity. We are a diverse church. How that informs our relationships of love and how that informs our sharing life together as children of God. And I'm glad you are joining us for these messages. At this time, I'd like to invite you for a praise song from our praise team. And then we'll have prayer, scripture reading, a word of thanks for your financial donations and contributions to our gospel effort. And then I'll come back with the main message. Please stay with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today. 1 Chronicles 16:23 says, "Sing to the Lord all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day."
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a wonder!
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you for bringing us to your most holy throne today. We submit ourselves into your most loving hands, Lord, as we listen to your word today. We thank you for the selfless service of our Pastor Gabriel and his wife, Christine, our venue champions, Terry, Richard, and Leo. I ask that you will continue to sustain them as they serve both your church and their families. I ask that you will help us every day thread our lives well the way you want. I believe you want us to be more than overcomers. You want us to be winners, to be healthy. Help us to keep ourselves healthy physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, Lord. We thank you for your promises. At the very least, we hear your word from our pastor, who doesn't get tired in inspiring and encouraging us every Sunday. Help us to do our part as well, to keep ourselves the way you want us to be. You'd like to specially mention our elderly brothers and sisters, those who are sick, those who are struggling in different ways. May they feel your reassuring embrace and comfort. I pray that everyone enjoys this day of worship. I pray that everyone will have a great week ahead. I pray that everyone will focus on you and have the mindset you want us to have, to live a full and blessed life. In the most holy name of your Son, Jesus our Lord. Amen. Our first reading from the Holy Bible comes from Matthew 5, verse 14 to 16. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify the Father in heaven. Second reading from Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. The third reading is from Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of age.
I want to specifically say a heartfelt thank you to Grace Communion Richardson members, our supporters, and those of you out there who share our values for your financial support and donation to help with our gospel effort. Your financial donations are tax deductible and they are very helpful and we appreciate them all. If you want to know how to support our gospel effort, you can see the various ways you can do so on the screen. Thank you so very much for, as the scriptures say, having your treasure in heaven and for joining Jesus in his gospel effort through what we are doing here at Grace Communion Richardson. Thank you and God bless you. Now we are looking at the main message for today. And I've been sharing with you who we are as a church congregation, in a series with the title, We Are GCR. And we've been looking at our values. We started looking at our vision and mission last week, with a focus last week on our vision. I shared that the vision that we have flows out of the overarching vision that God has for all of humans in Jesus Christ. That vision of a knowing relationship of love as his children in Christ Jesus, which Jesus describes as eternal life in John chapter 17 and verses 2 and 3. Well, at Grace Communion Richardson, as I keep on saying, We claim our identity, our primary identity, in Jesus Christ. And this primary identity informs the values that I've been sharing with you. And it informs the vision and mission that we have. As I said last Sunday, our vision is to know Jesus and to make him known, joining Jesus in making disciples through relationships of love. That's our vision. And that vision flows from the overarching vision that God has for all of humans, as I stated earlier. And that overarching vision is that God wants to share a relationship of knowing, a relationship of love with humanity through Jesus. And our mission is to live out this vision of knowing Jesus and making him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through community engagement by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want us to spend some time looking at what this means with a focus on our mission. Our mission is to know Jesus, let me repeat it again, and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, through community engagement by the power of the Holy Spirit. This mission flows from our identity in Jesus. It flows from who Jesus is, what he stands for, what he is accomplished on our behalf. So Jesus invites us to participate in what he is doing. In other words, Jesus invites us to participate in his mission of love and joy, of giving eternal life, making disciples, bringing many sons and daughters to glory, and expanding his kingdom. It's all saying the same thing. So the vision is to share life with humans. That's God's vision for us, his life of love, as we enter into a knowing relationship with him. And the mission that Jesus has in accomplishing that is to bring, to make disciples and bring many sons and daughters to glory and to expand the kingdom of God as a result. So Jesus' mission is very clear. So Jesus is about saving people. That's why he's called the Savior. He's about bringing many sons and daughters into the glorious life that Father, Son, and Spirit share. He's about making disciples, and by that we mean bringing people into a relationship with him, conforming into his image. And so making disciples, disciples of who? Disciples of Jesus. To be a disciple of Jesus is not just to be a follower of Jesus, but an image bearer of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is about. That's his mission in fulfilling that glorious vision of sharing life with human beings. And he invites us into this vision and mission. He invites us into this mission of making disciples, into this mission of bringing many sons and daughters into glory, into this mission of ushering us and expanding the kingdom of God. Matthew 28, we see very clearly this invitation that Jesus has for his disciples. In Matthew chapter 28, and in verses 18 to 20, Jesus, in the chapter that we are looking at, we are breaking into the chapter here. In chapter 28, Jesus had appeared to his disciples. Of course, the women had gone to the tomb and they couldn't find him. And they met Jesus on the way to go back to the disciples and to let them know, as the angel had told them, that Jesus is already risen and that he was going ahead of them to meet them in Galilee. This was the woman, meaning Mary Magdalene, the other Mary. And then Jesus met them on the way, and Jesus, you know, told them that they shouldn't be afraid, and they should go to Galilee where he's going to be meeting them. And so, and to go to the mountain where they usually meet. And so the disciples went to the mountain, and Jesus appeared before them. And it's in the midst of this encounter that we have this invitation that is variously referred to as the Great Commission. And it is an invitation that Jesus gives to join him in making disciples, in bringing many and many sons and daughters to glory, in ushering people into his kingdom. And in verse 18, he told the disciples that were with him on that mountain. Jesus came to them and said, verse 18, the 28th chapter of Matthew, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," so on the basis of this understanding, "therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." So Jesus telling his disciples this, and by extension, telling all of his disciples to engage in what he just said. This is, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Now, this is Jesus' way of encouraging his disciples. Look, you are not without strength. You are not without power. You are not without resources. I'm inviting you to engage and participate in what I am doing, and I have all authority in heaven and on earth. So you are going to be equipped. You are going to be resourced. You are going to be helped. He starts by saying that all authority in heaven and on earth are reposed in me. And he ends by saying, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Another, this is like two bookends. First, all authority. Second, I am with you to the end. Jesus is reassuring his disciples that as he invites us in participation of his gospel work, that we're not doing it alone, that we are not in charge of it, that he is the one who has his work and he's invited us into it. He is in charge of it. He started it and he will complete it. He is going to be with us every step of the way, even when it feels like we are in it all alone. Jesus is telling us, remember, that's not the case. I am with you always. I have the authority, all of it, in heaven and on earth, to see through that which I have invited you to be a part of. And then he says in verse 19, therefore, with this understanding that we've been invited into this mission that Jesus has, he says, go. And the Greek that is translated go is also translated as you are going. As you are going, make disciples. In other words, as you live your life, as you go through life, have a life-on-life relationships of others that introduces them to being followers of me and image bearers of me. That is, make disciples of me. How does that happen? He says, by baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have commanded you. Teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Of course, these days, the word obey is almost pejorative. Nobody wants to obey, you know, it sounds so patriarchal. It sounds so authoritarian. But obedience really here is talking about a relational knowing and relational living out of love, out of understanding, if you like, of the likes and dislikes of Jesus. And through that, living out of love and understanding of the likes and dislikes of each other as disciples. You know, obedience doesn't have to be a, how do I put it, a mechanistic view of it. You don't have to have a mechanistic view of obedience. Legalism provides that basis for a mechanistic view of obedience. God is not interested in legalism, you know, just a life of do's and don'ts with punishment as the coercive force for the do's and don'ts. That's not what this is talking about when Jesus talks about teaching them to obey. Obedience in Jesus' economy is about relational knowing. So I am in a life of obedience with my wife. It is a life, as an example, it is a life that flows out of our knowing each other and hopefully living out our understanding of our likes and dislikes, so that I try to obey my wife in not doing the things that I know she dislikes. And she does the same for me. You see, it is out of love and out of knowing, out of understanding. And so obedience is not just my wife telling me, do this and don't do that, and if you do this, this will happen. No, it is a relational, a lifestyle of knowing and seeking to please the other person out of love, seeking to live not for self, but for the other. That's what obedience is about in God's economy. It is not a mechanistic power struggle. Not at all. And so Jesus says he's called us to join him in making disciples, that is, in bringing many more people into a relationship of following him, of knowing him, of being image bearers of Jesus. And he says, as we do this, he is with us always, to the very end of the age. That's the mission Jesus has, and he's called us to participate in. So we live our lives in love, and we make disciples by sharing that life of love that Jesus teaches us. And that is really what Jesus teaches, isn't it? When he says, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you, what Jesus has commanded us is to what? Is to love. And we'll turn to that in a minute. Because disciple making is saturated in the context of love. We can't really make disciples outside of love. And of course, outside of hope and of faith. And we'll talk some more about that later. So we participate in Jesus' love. And that's what Jesus commands us. That's what he teaches us. You know, in John chapter 13, verses 34, 35, we've read this before. A new command I give you, he says, love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. That's part of the commands Jesus is talking about here. And you know, in the colloquial expressions, we tell people that we love, your wish is my command, isn't it? So again, I'm saying all of this to clarify that we're not talking about legalism when we talk about commands and obedience. We're talking about a relational knowing of love that we act out, that we live out, that we understand, and we manifest voluntarily, not coercively, but persuasively, convincingly, compellingly. We're compelled by the love that we have for God through Christ, and we are compelled by this love that he pours in us to obey, to share in his likes and dislikes, and in the likes and dislikes of one another. And we do this by sharing the goodness of God in our lives, right? We share the love of God by sharing the goodness of God in our lives, sharing the love and truth of God, of who God is in Jesus, what he has done and is doing in, with, through, and for us. So we share that. That is the process of making disciples. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 5, emphasizing, turn a few chapters back, a few pages back to Matthew 5, emphasizes the important point that this mission involves both words and deeds. We just read about the words part when Jesus says, teaching them all that I have, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus also says that we do this not only in word, but also by deeds. I don't just tell my wife, I love you, honey, but I also show it, right? I need to be able to show that I do indeed love her. And there are various ways to show that love. And it is a growing relationship in that sense, in the sense of showing that love. And one of the best ways to show love to my wife is to show love to her in the way that she appreciates, not in the way that I do. You know, my way of showing love to Christine will be to, you know, buy her bunches of chocolate and send her flowers every now and again and so on. But that, she doesn't really care too much for, well, she likes chocolate if it is the right kind, but she's not the flower type of person. Yeah, a lot of women are. My wife is not really that much of a flower person. My wife is more interested in practical gifts, you know. She's more interested in being able to, say, have a day off, not having to worry about anything because I'm trying to do things so she doesn't have to worry about that. She appreciates that more than getting a bouquet of flowers. And that is what, you know, some authors have written about, like the five love languages and so on. We love in a way that God describes. In other words, we love in the way that God defines how love is, what makes it love. And we do the same with each other within the context of our identity of Jesus. Jesus is love. Think about that for a minute. The Bible does not say Jesus has love. The Bible says God is love. And how this God who is love lives and manifests himself, expresses himself, is what love is. And he's called us to join him in that, in his Son, in relationships. And I'm saying that that is not only by words, but it is also by our actions, by our deeds. And that's what Jesus says here in Matthew chapter 5. And we all know these chapters, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, as the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, and in verse, let's start from verse 14 and breaking into Jesus' statements here. He started with the Beatitudes, as they are known, sharing what kind of heart, what kind of attitude, what kind of spirit sons and daughters who are coming into glory are supposed to be identified by. And in verse 14, he goes on to say, you are, talking to the disciples, the light of the world. Now, this you here is really not singular. It's talking about the group, the community of faith, the community of believers together. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And this expression that we are the light of the world is really saying that we are a reflection of it, right? Because Jesus is light. And when we share our identity in him, then we reflect that same light. That's what I said earlier by saying that being a disciple is not just a follower of Christ, but also an image bearer of Christ. We reflect who he is. And who he is light. And so we reflect that light as well. He says, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And then he gives an example of how being light manifests itself. Neither, verse 15, do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, verse 16, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So part of disciple making, part of joining Jesus in making disciples involves making our light shine. And Jesus is describing this light shining as not just words, but deeds that are what? Seen. It's like living out love in deeds that are obvious for others around us. And these deeds are supposed to be good deeds, he says, good works. They are not our good works. They are the works, the good deeds of the love of God. That's not me saying that, friends. That's scripture saying that. We read that in Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10. I'm not going to turn there. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10. You can read that at your own convenience. But the writer of Ephesians, Apostle Paul, is describing that God has prepared good deeds in advance for us to participate in. And these good deeds that have been prepared in advance is in his Son, Jesus. So as we share in the identity of Jesus, as we share in the mission of Jesus, of making disciples, of bringing many sons and daughters into glory, of ushering people into the kingdom of God, we participate in Jesus's good deeds to these people, to each other, with others. And the good deeds take various forms. And I described the form it takes in one word, or actually two words, last time. I called it sacred hospitality. The way that we help, the way that we care, the way that we are present with others, especially neighbors and strangers and even the enemy. In relationship, sacred hospitality. We share the bountiful graciousness of God that we experience in our identity in Jesus with others. And as I said, there is no hospitable person you will ever meet than Jesus. That's his good deeds that we've been called to participate in sharing with others as part and parcel of being engaged in the mission of making disciples and bringing many sons and daughters to glory. In Matthew chapter 22, I said earlier that all of this is flowing out of love. And this is what Jesus says about that in Matthew chapter 22. And that's, I think, the last scripture I'm going to be quoting, and then I'll say a few more things as we conclude this message. In Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 to 40, throughout chapter 22 of Matthew, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the teachers of the law at that time, they've been trying very hard to trip up Jesus, to make him come across as foolish, as someone who doesn't know what he's saying or doing, to make him come across as unlearned, as dumb, and they've been failing miserably. The Sadducees went to him and they failed. And the Pharisees, actually the Pharisees did first and they failed. The Sadducees went and they failed. And then the Pharisees came back again. And in chapter 22, and verse, I'm breaking into the conversation Jesus has been having with the crowd here. Verse 34, I'll give you the context of what I just said. Verse 34, the 22nd chapter of Matthew says, hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Verse 37, Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And of course, we know, as I quoted earlier, that in John chapter 13, verses 34 to 35, Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. You don't just love your neighbor as yourself, you love your neighbor as I have loved you. He upped the ante, so to speak. He made himself the true measure of love, the true yardstick for love. Not just how we feel and think, but how he is. That is, again, what it means for us to have our identity in him. We put aside self and embrace Jesus. And we embrace his love as well. So we do this mission of making disciples, of having life-on-life relationships of love, whether in worship, whether family fellowship, whether in community engagements as Grace Communion Richardson. We do all of this in love. And you hear me say that every time I start the broadcast, that, you know, I am from Grace Communion Richardson, where we seek to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, through community engagement, and I will add, all out of the incredible love of God poured in our hearts through Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 22. It is called the Great Commandment, as opposed to Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20, which is referred to as the Great Commission. We live out the Great Commission out of our life of the Great Commandment. Let me say that again. We live out the mission of knowing, seeking to know Jesus and to make him known through worship, through family fellowship, and through community engagement out of the commandment of loving God and loving one another as Jesus loves us. So we join Jesus in his mission out of love and because of the love of God and love of neighbor. We do so through our values of worship, family fellowship, and community engagement or neighborhood engagement. And we do so because we have our identity in Jesus, who is the one doing this, who is the one with the authority, who is the one who is with us from beginning to end. We have our identity in Christ, and that means that we want to know him and we accept him. It means being a new creation in him, to accept Jesus as the ideal image of God's best life for us, and that's why we are his image bearers as well. It means accepting his life in our hearts and in our minds through the power of his Spirit and sharing that life with others, that life of love. It means living out what Jesus says and what Jesus stands for and what Jesus teaches us and commands us. It means accepting Jesus as our brother and our friend, as our Lord and Master, as the King of our lives. Accepting him as the one who is on mission and us joining him in making other disciples to the glory and to the honor of God, to the fulfillment of the vision of the destiny that God has of giving eternal life of love and joy, sharing his life with human beings. So here at Grace Communion Richardson, we recognize that God gives us worship as a gift. Our understanding of the hope that is Jesus for us and our response of gratitude and praise as a result of that understanding of who God is in Jesus for us. We invite others to share in this hope that is Jesus. The hope that recognizes that life is not all we see in the here and now. There's more to life than this present life. There is more fulfilling, abundant life that Jesus calls us to. And that life is in Himself. He is that life. He says so Himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we have hope, who is Jesus. And we recognize family fellowship as a wonderful invitation God has given to us in Jesus to be part of the family that He is creating, that He is bringing about, and to grow in the faith and in the knowledge, in the grace and knowledge and life of Jesus is what family fellowship is about, doing it together. God did not intend for us, any human being, to do life alone. It is a dark, depressing, and hopeless place to be, to feel alone, to feel abandoned, to feel rejected, unaccepted, unappreciated, unloved. God did not intend that for any human being. And that is where the family fellowship is important for us as a congregation. And we share this family fellowship with others because God does not want us to do life alone. We are better together. We also recognize community and neighborhood engagement as our intentional opportunity to join Jesus in sharing who He is, love. Doing so in word and in deed. Sharing who Jesus is what is called the gospel. Sharing who Jesus is what is called the good news. Because sharing who Jesus is includes sharing what He has done and is doing for all of humanity. It is the good news of His salvation, of His grace, and the truth that He is, the invitation that He gives. And we do this, friends, through word and through deeds of love. And we do it with our neighbors. So what about you? Do you desire a life of purpose or meaning, a mission-driven life with Jesus, of His love? Are you participating in Jesus' life and mission of love, of sharing this with others, sharing this hope, this faith, and this love of Jesus with others? Do you desire that? Are you living that? You want a bigger purpose in your life than the self. That's the way I recommend to go. I pray you do. Go to Jesus for clarity in joining His life and mission of love with the gifts and talents that He has given you and prepared you to do and to use. Go to Him. Reach out if you need help figuring out what to do and how to do it. We are interested in doing this life together. I look forward, friends, in seeing you next time as we continue on this journey together to know Jesus and to make Him known, and to do so through worship, through family fellowship, through community engagement, which is our mission here at Grace Communion Richardson. Doing so and sharing the hope and the love of Jesus with others and being about His mission. Next time, we will look at what it means to do this mission through the ministry avenues that we call hope, faith, and love. I hope you come along with us. Right now, I'd like to invite you to a concluding praise song from our praise team. And I hope to see you next Sunday as we continue on this journey of seeking to know Jesus and to make him known to his honor and to his glory. Amen. God bless.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Within me, I give you praise. All that I adore is in you. Lord, I give you my heart. I give my soul, I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. This is my
I want to invite you to a Zoom discussion after this message. The ID is on the screen. If you need to call using the phone number is on your screen as well. If you are watching on Facebook, the link that you can click on to join Zoom is in the description. If you are watching from our website, the link is on top of the video. I look forward to meeting you on Zoom for discussion and for fellowship. God bless you.